Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22. And then after that, we'll be reading 5, 13 to 16. But we'll start in Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. I turn over now, chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. "You are the salt of the earth, and if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to put these things in practice in our daily lives. And we pray that as the message is given to us this morning, that we'd listen carefully, and that the words of life would be applied to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. This morning in our adult class, as I mentioned before, we had teenagers. And I'm always excited when I hear teenagers speak, because they have this honesty. Their questions are very direct and to the point. And one of the questions was, how is it... We ask, is it confusing, or what is the difficulty, or what are the problems today with the teenagers and in our society? And one teenager said, well, it's very difficult because there are so many religions. Religions are the problem. And you know what? I agree with him 100%, because today's problem, when you want to preach the gospel, talk to people about God, the problem is religion and religions rather than God and the message and the gospel. People are confused. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. What religion is right? What religion is wrong? What is called? And I've been talking to people that are dealing now with little details about the Christian faith, and they spend all their time in discussing those little details rather than the call or the gospel or God or Jesus or life or eternity. And so I thought it would be a good idea if we start from scratch once again and see who Jesus is. And I'm not going to stay too long at explaining to you who Jesus is, but at least the ministry he started. Jesus began his earthly ministry actually by choosing disciples, in Greek mathetes, students, followers. Jesus saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and his brother Andrew, fishing, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." These people were minding their own business. They had their nets, they had their little boat, and they had been doing this for a long time, and all of a sudden a man comes to them, and he says to them, "Give up your boat and follow me." Now, if it this call was not supernatural call, and if Jesus did not have those penetrating eyes, and if Jesus' words did not sound like a booming voice, and if he didn't have that great influence in people, why would these two men follow Christ? So there was something that gave them that confidence that this man was special, someone different. And they were willing to give up whatever they had, their business, and follow him. Today we try to convince people to come to church. We try to convince them that God is there and that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And then we invite them to come to church to offer them some kind of entertainment or some kind of activities. And the way we even do this is so lame. Or so we don't. It seems like we don't even believe. We don't even give them the impression that we believe in what we say. And people don't want to come. But if you are convicted and if you have that real life in you, people will listen. This actually was the second time Jesus called Peter and Andrew. In John 1, chapter 1 and verses 35 to 42, we read that they were called to salvation. Jesus had called them to be saved first, and now they are called to service. The first call took place in Judea, this one in Galilee. I believe every one of us who is called, invited to come and accept the free gift of salvation also does receive a call to serve God, to follow Christ, to reflect him in our daily lives. Or else, what is this? A ticket for a game? Peter and Andrew were fishermen, but Jesus called them to be fishers of men. Their responsibility was to follow Christ. His response was Christ's response and responsibility was to make them successful fishers of men. Once again, their responsibility was to follow Christ. Christ's promise and responsibility was to make them fishers of men. We respond by saying yes and then invite him to make us what he wants us to become. Their responsibility was to follow Christ. That's all. Their following of Christ was more than physical nearness. It included their imitation of Christ's character. In other words, reflect Christ. That's what it means to follow me. To follow me doesn't mean you sell your house and you leave your family and you become a monk or you go into a monastery or you become a missionary necessarily. If every one of us felt that way and sold our houses or give up our businesses or quit school and became missionaries, there would be no one here. But Christ wants us to follow him, his example. He wants us to reflect him daily where we are. Their life was to be a ministry of character, not words. I mentioned that this morning I was reading the Gazette and there was this big article. And it says, again, forgive me for my brothers and sisters who come from Catholic background or practice Catholic faith and you are with us this morning. It says, Catholic campaign misses the point. I'm not here to run down any denomination or make any negative comments about any denomination. But this is the article, anyways, this morning. And I just highlighted a couple of points. It says, what is the role of leaders in all this in the churches? In short, and this writer is Paul L. Allen, is assistant professor in the Department of Theological Studies of a university here. It says, what is the role of leaders in all this? In short, the bishop should not adapt to realities, new, old, or otherwise. His job is to preach the gospel with courage and conviction. Cardinal Turcotte knows this already. of course. So why the obsession with adopting or adoption with administration and finances? And then goes on to say, we say it does about faith. It says, and metaphor. Oh, I'm sorry, but faith is a powerful force for the good, and metaphorically, it leads. At least we say it does move mountains. If there is one thing that characterizes Christian expressions of Christian faith, in the commitment to embody Christ and imitate his life rather than simply preach an open-ended vague morality. And goes on to say all kinds of things. At the end it says, with their sight set on Christ and his promise that the truth will make you free. Here it says Catholic bishops should be free of financial worries. The truth of the gospel demands their attention, and that's what we should see reflected in church fundraising campaigns. Anyways, there is a lot more here, but what I'm trying to say is this professor all of a sudden has realized that fundraising or activities or being relevant or being up to date or being modern or the modernistic way of doing things has not worked, and what we need to do is reflect Christ and follow Christ. The words follow me here were the follow me of faith, and I have, I believe, three or four follow me points to make this morning. The follow me of faith, verse 19. Peter and Andrew were busy at their daily workplace, making a living, providing for their families. They may have been struggling with problems just like most of us. As I said before, that these two disciples were minding their own business. They were where they were. They were happy and religious, I suppose. But Christ came and found them where they were. They may have been struggling with problems, but still they had enough sense to listen to someone who came to them. And Jesus went where they were working. He meets them and talks to them about a better way of doing things and better catch, if you wish. Jesus meets us where we are. He meets us in our times of need. He meets us where we are. Happy moments or bad moments, doesn't matter. Christ is always there wanting to speak to us. Their hearts had been prepared for his call. Have you heard the follow me of faith? Have you responded to his call? And if you have, then how are you reflecting him? To be a disciple, someone called me the other day and he said, do you do discipling? Do you have discipleship courses actually? And I said, well, actually the church should be a discipleship course all the time, or a place to disciple people, which means the church is here not only to make converts to a particular religion, not only to defend a particular denomination, not only to defend a particular doctrine, not only to entertain people with some good music or some band or beautiful solos. The church is not only here to say that the other religions are bad and we are only good, as many do. The church is here to make disciples of all those who come into the church or even outside in the workplace. Making people to become disciples is making people to look at Jesus and then to be attracted by the message, by the gospel, and follow him, not us. I'm nothing, you are nothing without Christ. What we know, what we have learned, what we think we can do is nothing when you... It's like having a little match and then you have a spotlight shining with that match. You don't see anything anymore. That's how we should be. we should feel that we are nothing without Him. And if He is our Lord, and if He is the Master, and if He is the teacher, then we should always lead people to Him, not to me, not to the church, not to Dr. So-and-so on television and radio, not to the other preacher, and not to these wonderful writers. All these preachers, all us, the teachers, if you wish, are only trying to understand a little bit of God's greatness and power. So why risk making mistakes when we can always lead them or direct them to Christ, I should say. And Jesus said, follow me. When actually, you remember when Peter was saying, what's going to happen to John? Well, John is a great man. He is your friend. What is he going to become? A bishop? Or what? Anyways, he wanted to know exactly what was going to happen to John. And Jesus said, what is that to you? None of your business. Just follow me. And then when Apostle Paul is writing letters to the churches, he says, what do I hear? There are Pentecostals, there are Baptists, there are Catholics, there are Greek Orthodox. He didn't use those names, but something like that. He said, tell me please, who died for you? Did the Pope die for you? Did Billy Graham die for you? Did Joseph die for you? Did this other pastor die for you? No! They only are ministers. Supposedly, we must be serving our Lord, not ourselves. And Jesus said, follow me. Number two, the follow me of fishing for men. First was the follow me of faith. Second, the follow me of fishing for men. The neglected call today is personal evangelism, spreading the good news. That's exactly how you fish a fish. You fish a fish. Unless you go like the Japanese trawlers that gather all whatever garbage there is, and the fish, the little ones, the big ones, and then they sell them. This is not really fishing. This is really abusing God's gift of food and everything. But in the when you go fishing, you just throw that little bait in there, and you wait, and it moves and doesn't move, and it bites, and finally you pull out. Well, that's how it is with being a Christian fisherman, if you wish. You don't throw a bait. You just point the person to the Lord. You just point the person. This morning with the teenagers, they were saying that it's very confusing. They don't know what to believe. And you think the adults know what to believe. I get so many calls and people say, well, what is your doctrine? Or what Bible do you read? Or what is this? And all they're trying desperately to do is find the truth. As a matter of fact, at the end of the article here, it says, if it wasn't politically incorrect to do it, I would do it. But anyways, it says, no wonder so many of our denomination, says the writer, are leaving the church and going to smaller evangelical churches. Do you think the evangelical churches are doing fine? Most of them, most of us are so busy trying to run our churches, and we are forgotten to say to people, follow Christ. Christ is right here. Just follow Him. The neglected call today is personal evangelism. The results of neglecting this call to evangelize are few churches are filled. Many joyless believers who have no joy, have lost their joy, their peace. I remember when I was a little boy, and Dikran was a little older than me, he's one of the few friends that are left. Dikran is the gentleman who's sitting right there, second row. And we would go to their home, and they would come to our home, and there was such a joy, happiness, being a Christian, sharing with others. You know what? I have found that we have lost that joy. Because we are so busy playing the game of being whatever we think we are. Humble yourselves, follow Christ, and see how the joy of the Lord will pour into your heart and life. Many joyless believers today, new believers bringing joy to the church is the only joy that we see. This coming Saturday, some of us will be going for our association's annual business, what is it they call it, conference? Meeting. Miss Yoka Saliba is coming with us and her. And I promised them to bring two or three people that will share the joy of the new life, or the joy of being, some of them returning to their faith, some of them having a new testimony or a testimony. Because I found that churches today, I was at that big meeting, and all the pastors were so sad. Nothing is going on, no excitement. And the only excitement we find lately is the new believer that comes in, a young person that is full of joy and smiles, and we say, wow, welcome. And we start rejoicing with the person until we make him as boring as we are. What can I say? I believe unless we reflect Christ, unless we have the joy of our salvation, we cannot become fishers of men. Others won't come to the Lord. People are more important than programs. Believe it or not, the programs do work for a while. Somebody comes for the first time, hears Elise singing, and says, she sings beautiful, so I'll come next Sunday again. And next Sunday he or she comes, and then the fourth Sunday she says, okay, I had enough of this. I'm going to go somewhere else because I've heard that there's a great big band in another church. And then that person goes there, and after a few weeks says, okay, I've heard enough, I'll go somewhere else. I hear that there is something else. There's coffee during the service. And then he goes there, I had enough coffee, and then I'll go to another church. And then that's not the joy of the Lord. That is trying to survive. She said something. The people are more important than programs. Number three, the follow me of full surrender. Now that is difficult. Now you can ask me for everything. Well, not everything. A few things, but don't ask me for everything. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. A cross. Now that's why you're calling me. Well, the verse here says, Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Not the pastor, not the priest, not the pope, not the Billy Graham, not any religion, but follow me. Peter and Andrew heard the call and responded immediately. In true faith, they left their nets. In true commitment, devotion, they followed Jesus. That's what he wants, to follow him. Once again, to follow him doesn't mean to stop everything and take a Bible and start going from place to place. Or that may work with one or two or three. It all depends how the call has come. But that's not what it means. It means you go back to work now, focusing on Jesus, following Jesus. What would Jesus do was the slogan at one time. Even that didn't work because it became absolute. After a while, it became a joke. And we don't know what would Jesus do, but I know what I should do as a follower of Christ. I asked the young people this morning, the teenagers, do you know when you are tempted and when you are about to sin? And they all said, yeah, we know. We know what temptation is. We know when we are about to fall. People know. All they need is some help, some supernatural power to help them fight the good fight, if you wish, resist that temptation. And that only comes from Christ. Self-denial is part of God's call. This call still affects us today. Self-denial still is part of Christian call. Full surrender brings complete victory. The call came next to James and John. They too became instant disciples, leaving not only their jobs and their father as well. They acknowledged the priority of Jesus over the earthly ties. Once again, earthly ties are not necessarily the things that hold us back. It's when we make those earthly ties our priority, first priority, and we get hooked on the things of this earth. Then it's not a full surrender. Number four is the follow me of focusing on Jesus. In John 21, verse 19, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." But Peter wanted to know what was going to happen with John. Peter, turning to Jesus, had asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Phone calls I come to me all the time. Why this? Why the other? If we are to follow Christ, we must keep our eyes on him only. Not on other people, not on the preacher. And I'm not saying we should not respect our leaders, our teachers. I'm not saying we should not listen to the pastor or evangelist. But I'm saying we cannot place our lives in their hands. We must follow Christ. What the pastor preaches, I should listen. And if it's according to the word of God, I will accept it. If what he preaches is not according to the word of God, I should reject it. And then I should ask the Holy Spirit to give me the spirit of discernment to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Our Lord's answer to Peter applies to us all. What is that to you? Follow me. The truth is that not all so-called Christians are followers of Christ. There are 2 billion people who claim to be Christians in this world. I just wonder how many are true followers of Christ. That means that they will only consider Christ and his teachings and the gospel. And to the unbeliever, to the person who has not accepted Jesus, this sounds like religious fanaticism. Oh, look at the fanatic. He says, the only thing that counts is Jesus, but Jesus is not a doctrine. Jesus is not earthly teacher. He's not the head of a denomination or a culture. Jesus is God. And if you're not excited having Christ, God, as your Lord, and if you don't want to follow God, then you are to be pitied. I mean, God, I'm talking about God when I say Jesus. And all God says, I created you, I am sustaining you, that is if they believe in creation, I am sustaining you, I am giving you life, I am giving you the light, and what else do you want? Would you rather go in the dark corner and seek to find some joy, some peace, some pleasure, rather than be in the light and receive all the pleasure you need? Physical pleasures are given to us by God. And God wants us to enjoy every pleasure that is given to us according to his way of doing things. My relationship with my friends, my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children and grandchildren, my relationship with customers, it gets better if Christ is there. when I commit my life to Him. Follow me, Jesus said. By responding to the call of Christ, these fishermen became key figures in the evangelization of the world. If they had stayed at their nets, we would never have heard of them and of Christ. Obeying Christ makes all the difference in the world. There are many today who claim to be believers in Christ. They study the Bible, they even teach and preach, but sad to say, they do not follow Jesus, nor do they reflect Him in their daily lives. Jesus said to those who believed in Him, "Follow me." What is your response to the Lord's call? Regardless of what others do, are you following Christ? Will you decide to follow Jesus all the way or whenever you feel like it? I hope and pray that God is going to make that very clear to me and to you, that we must only follow Christ, God, our Creator, our Sustainer. And if we do that, then we will enjoy creation. We will enjoy our life. We will enjoy our body. We will enjoy the friends and family members we have, because we will have that supernatural love that helps us love and enjoy a life. May we all turn our eyes to Him and follow Him. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for being the light in this dark world. We thank You, Lord, for being always ready to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. Sometimes we don't like Your answers. Sometimes we are impatient and we want to see things done our way and quickly. But You are in control of everything and every situation. Please be with us, strengthen us, clear our thoughts and minds, and help us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us from now on and forever. Amen.